We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Now back to Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
I got a vegan. I got a vegan.
A what?
And this boy eat McDonald's. Ocho versus science. This is a thing.
I'm going to get you together, too. You been eating healthy your whole career?
No.
No? You had any injuries early in your career?
No, linger. I didn't have surgery my early in my career.
Right. I mean, were the injuries early in your career, were they hampering where you weren't able to function and produce?
I know where you're going, bro.
Talk to me.
I know where you're
just
going.
Just talk to me now. We be here. Okay, well, I think I need you this upcoming season to change your diet. Go back to eating honey buns, Twinkies, McDonald's.
I'm going to tell you why I can't do that.
Why?
Because if I did that, then I will be 280.
Cameron Jarrell Newton.
Cam Newton joining Brandon Marshall's I Am Athlete podcast, speaking with B. Marsh and Ocho Cinco about his vegetarian lifestyle, excuse me, vegan lifestyle.
I loved that.
What a great, it's hour two of Fitzy and Mego here on WEEI. Your old pal Nick Fitzy Stevens and Megan Ottolini from the Boston Herald and Quick Slants on NBC Sports Boston. I absolutely love that audio as well. I'm so glad you wanted to play that.
I feel like nobody talked about it, and I didn't know this about Ocho Cinco's diet, and I have a confession to make.
Go back
on
to
air.
Eating honey buns.
I have a confession. I have an Ocho Cinco diet. Like, it's not even necessarily fast food for me. It's gas station food. Like, I can tell you every gas station chain what has the best selection of granola bars, but like breakfast bars and treats and snacks and all that good stuff. Like Cumberland Farms, I live there. I will drive out of my way to go to Cumberland Farms and snack up.
Yeah, first day she came into the studio, she had the biggest box of Cheez-Its I've ever seen.
Oh my God, you're kidding. No wonder why we like doing radio together.
I have a fast metabolism and my blood sugar gets low, and Bridget took me into the kitchen and was like, there are also snacks here. And I go, look at all this free food. And she goes, it's not free. You have to pay for it. And I was like, well.
Some other employees have thought otherwise, but we won't tell tales out of school.
Anyway, so, I gotta
yes and that one real quick before we move on with Cam and then the Pats quarterback carousel. Not only do I always go to Cumberland Farms when I'm back home, and I'm returning this week from my little Southwest Florida sunny sojourn, but like it's my kid's favorite. My son Thomas, when I go get an iced coffee, he always wants either a slushy or a slice of their pizza or both, and I love the sandwiches. But down south, my God, it's next level. Like, you can go to in towns, Mega, whether you're on the road down here or just in Florida, you can get, like, in the same town, hell, the same block, there's a 7-Eleven, there's a racetrack, there's a Wawa, and they have, like, some of them have, like, 16-handle frozen yogurt dispensers, 25 different flavors of make-it-yourself coffee, pizzas, omelets.
That's America, baby. You
burrito,
know what?
Like burrito stations at a gas station. Like, this is next. And the sandwiches are all phenomenal.
You know when you've hit it big is when you get to a gas station and they have one of those Coca-Cola 360 machines.
Please. Where the Coca-Cola Freestyle. 100 different flavors.
Yeah, that's what it is where you can pick. They have the most obscure stuff. They have, like, Diet Dr. Pepper Cherry Cola Cream Soda. And you're like, yes,
veins.
All of it. I'm getting excited just talking about it. Oh,
I have said if I strike it like multimillionaire, like, you know, Jason Tatum contract, Patrick Mahomes contract rich, first thing I would buy for my house would be a Coca-Cola Freestyle machine, just so I can have a Diet Raspberry Mellow Yellow / Dr. Pepper Cherry Vanilla Coke Zero combo whenever I want, because America.
So I wonder if Ocho Cinco might be on to something a little bit here, because Cam technically calls himself a vegan. I have some issues with that, because the same time he calls himself a vegan, he puts up Instagram videos of him making very egg-dependent meals. Like, here's me scrambling eggs. Like, good morning, fam. It's like, that's not vegan. That's the opposite of vegan. But, you know, for all, diet is an important thing for a lot of these guys. And maybe that's just like a little bit, a small part of what was going wrong with him at this point of his career. I don't totally think so, but it might be something to reconsider. I get what Ocho Cinco's saying.
It'd be interesting if Cam actually did, and I love the fact that he copped to possibly ballooning back to 280. His peak playing weight when he was on Carolina, when, of course, he was a top 10 quarterback, MVP candidate, and a NFC conference champion, was 265. Now, this year, supposedly, he played at 245, and he's lost a lot of weight and got leaner, going to that vegan slash, you know, that vegan adjacent, more vegetarian, pescatarian diet that he's on, because he even admitted on the Greg Hill Show that sometimes he'll have fish. So
this is getting so pescatarian. Far from pescatarian. Vegan.
Yeah, pescatarian. Even, I call him a selectitarian.
Vegetarian. That's yes, just he's a picky eater.
So he's a bit of a selectitarian. But one of the things he said this particular offseason, as Ocho Cinco says, yeah, that didn't work for you. I need you to go back to honey buns and Big Macs and whatnot, which just sounds like the way all
and
of
Twinkies.
No,
he said. That's what Ocho Cinco said. He said Twinkies, which no. I'm not down with. What I like are,
it's
first
the
of all,
worst thing in the world for
not
you.
Even like a true ho-ho. I like the Swiss Miss. They're technically called like the Swiss Miss rolls. You know, the chocolate rolls with the cream
just no,
inside.
They're called the Swiss. Wait,
the Swiss Miss rolls.
Did you just say like I'm not really a big ho?
I don't like the classic ho-hos because like they're too like crumbly inside. But I was so jealous.
Swiss rolls by Little Debbie are the greatest thing ever made. End of story.
True story. In middle school, one of my friends got one of those Swiss Miss rolls and it had a like worm in it. And he got so many free Swiss Misses from them. he got like a year's supply of free Swiss Misses. He really hit the lottery with that.
The Swiss rolls from Little Debbie. True story. I was so desperate for money after college that a friend of mine hipped me to this idea that you could write letters to like General Mills and all these different companies, and you could like just make a false claim, like I found a tooth or like a rat's paw in my
That's
box
fraud,
of cereal.
Buddy. That's
yeah,
fraud.
It was. But the thing was, I used to write all of my letters to the companies with the name of backup catchers of the Red Sox.
It's ridiculous.
So like Bill Hasselman and Mark Sullivan and Rich Gedman used to get sent boxes of cereal for free to my New York apartment.
Well, you know, Tom Brady started this whole thing with the whole you can control your diet and you can control your body and you can extend your game. And it doesn't work for everybody. I mean, a lot of this stuff is also genetic. And it's possible that Tom Brady, for all the incredible work that he puts in on his body and his health, which is well documented by himself, that some guys are just genetically less prone to injury. He also has a body type that's like that. You know, for Cam being leaner, he has appeared to be healthier with the exception of COVID. He was able to stay healthy over the last season. He just couldn't throw the ball.
It's a mild prerequisite for playing quarterback in the NFL, as we found out over the course of the 15 games that he started, where he went 7-8 overall. As we touch on Cam Newton, the phone lines light up because, of course, people start to think that Cam Newton could be coming back. We have not made any such promise or broken any news. We're just talking about his funny diet. But that could lead, obviously, back to a reuniting with the Patriots. 617-779-7937. Let's just grab a couple calls real quick who've been hanging on. Tyler in the car. Welcome to Fitzy and Mego, Tyler. What say you, friend?
Hey, how are you guys? Fitzy, been a fan of you for a long time. I remember those old YouTube draft videos. Those were great.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate you watching, buddy. I can't wait to go back to an actual draft with fans and human beings again. Won't it be wonderful?
Are they going to let you within 10, 15 feet of Goodell? Like, I mean, you guys posed you up pretty good in those videos, by far.
I don't think so, and I don't think they'll have fans in Cleveland this year. But anyway, I appreciate the shout, man. What's on your mind?
Gotcha. So you guys were talking a little bit earlier about that it factor. And one thing in the draft that I wanted to talk about was that two players that when I kind of watched the tape on to see who has it, I'm going to do one offensive and one defensive. Offensive, and I know it might be a stretch to get, but Trey Lance just looks like he has it. Like he is just, he's like a tiger out there. And I know the competition isn't as good as if he played D1. But, you know, he's clearly a man among boys out there. And, you know, the guy on defense that I really like is Micah Parsons, although I think he might have some off-the-field issues, but he definitely has it as well. I mean, that guy just brings it.
Yeah, Micah Parsons definitely is an animal on defense. He opted out of the 2020 season, Mego. A lot of people have talked about him maybe falling down to the Patriots because of his concerns. Tyler, thank you for the call, buddy. Be well. Take care. Give us a shout any Saturday. Micah Parsons could fall to the Patriots. He's a ferocious defender, great sideline-to-sideline speed, big tackler, but there are some issues chasing him out of Penn State, and you'd wonder if the Patriots would steer clear of anyone who does have those red flag, checkered, you know, pass, cause for concern kind of things. And as far as Trey Lance goes, all I keep hearing is, most sure thing, Trevor Lawrence. Prospect everyone is fascinated with now, the prospect du jour, is Zach Wilson. Justin Fields, like, either going to be boom or bust. Mac Jones, steady Freddy. And then Trey Lance is the X factor. And some have said, like, he might flame out because he didn't face the competition. But some have said he could absolutely just light the league on fire because of his God-given athletic ability. I see it on tape. I just wonder if he's ready for the big time, especially after not having played a game in like a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that's all good and well for the draft. But as we've said multiple times, I think everybody agrees that you need a bridge QB in the meantime. And it would be nice to have somebody who can bring a little swag and leadership into the locker room. I think somebody said earlier, Cam had that. He couldn't back it up. It would be nice to have both, you know? Mm-hmm. And to find that in free agency is going to be tough. I look at guys like Mariota, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, these guys don't have it. Those guys aren't alphas. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's to the general population because they're an NFL quarterback. They're alpha. But in the locker room, oh my God. Can you imagine Mitch Trubisky trying to tell Dante Hightower what to do? Come on. Just being like,
what a waste.
You had a bad, I heard you across the field and you had a bad attitude today, Dante. Like, it just is not, no.
No, and that's why it's so important that those guys come back just for their leadership and their experience. And if Belichick is looking to basically duplicate all of them, he may have a Chung replacement in Kyle Duggar already, and Adrian Phillips balled out last year. And I'd be looking forward to having all three of them available because they'll have great safety depth. And think about what Duggar can learn from Chung. Think about the next middle linebacker, the great middle to outside linebacker, edge defender, off-ball linebacker, since Hightower can do everything. The next defensive captain, if you will, how much they can learn from Hightower coming back this season. Those guys have it. And a Mariota won't have it. Some of these other guys that they're considering don't have it. Maybe Garoppolo has a little bit of that it factor. Fitzpatrick is a national leader. Natural leader, I should say, rather. People love his leadership and on-field ability. He doesn't have the arm, but that's okay because his smarts, his acumen, and experience would more than make up for it, at least I think. You good for one more call before we catch up on some news and pay
absolutely.
Some bills?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to say that on the message stream, somebody says the original formula funny bones are the best food in history, best junk food. Have you ever heard of funny bones?
Oh, okay, so a funny
What's
bone.
A funny bone?
Okay, so it's a chocolate Twinkie. That okay. has, now you swap out the sort of like light white cream center, put in a creamy sweet peanut butter center, and then you dip it in chocolate.
Oh, that sounds kind of gross. I got to be honest. Weird. I don't know. I'm Googling it right now to see if it's something that's in my wheelhouse. Let's take another call.
for me, top two, it's actually top three. It's all Little Debbie. It's Swiss rolls, Star Crunch and the peanut butter bars. I think they called them not Nutty Buddies, but peanut butter bars.
I like a zebra cake.
Ooh,
I like a
good I love zebra a good cake. Zebra cake. Yeah. Speaking of good zebra cakes, here's our pal Dan in Cranston joining the program. Danny, how are you, buddy?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, my friend. What's on your mind today?
Has anyone used the cheesy Lego My Mego yet?
I get that a lot in my personal life, but I'll take it.
Well, I don't mean to go down that road, sorry. So, hey, Fitz, you know, this Cam thing, I watched it. I mean, that's kind of, he just rubbed me the wrong way, just making the excuses and everything.
He felt like he was making excuses?
I don't know, just the COVID stuff and just like, you know, they should have renamed that show I Was Athlete and not I Am Athlete.
Because, so you're talking about the podcast that he did earlier this week, I Am Athlete, specifically. We played a little sound from the top.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, he's toast. His arm is surgically repaired. There's only so many throws he can make. I truly believe that's why he got worse as the season went along. Like, he's got so many throws in it. It just is, you know, it's like
I think we may have lost him a little bit.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, Dan?
Dan, we got
still
you.
Still there?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, my man.
All right. So it's like Chris Sale going 9 innings. It ain't happening anymore. And I got a quick question. Hightower, Chung, and Cannon. I don't want them back at those prices. I don't want Hightower back at $12 million. I want them back, but they have to renegotiate their numbers.
How much That's money it. Do you need this team to have under their cap?
The more the merrier. Take care.
Hey, thank you for the call, Dan. Appreciate you as always. Yeah, it's funny because like Chung is coming back, I think, on the books at like 3.5. Marcus Cannon is due, I want to say 6 or 6.5. I don't think Hightower's on the books for 12. I think, not the salary figure was 8, but maybe the way they had kicked the can down the road, his cap count would be 12. And obviously he didn't count against it last year. I mean, to me, given the dearth of linebackers they had last year, I mean, you had Juwan Bentley basically, you know, running in cake batter all season long. You had Chase Winovich and Josh Uche playing all over the formation. You didn't have any great run stoppers. The defensive line was in tatters.
The edge was a mess every single game.
You know, Tom Curran always loved to bang this drum like John Simon, terrific athlete. Great to have him on the team. Depth at a multitude of positions. Shouldn't probably be starting at defensive end playing the edge all the time because he's going to get exposed, as a lot of the run defense did. Hightower makes up for a lot of that. And the tutelage, one of my favorite words, the tutelage to the next great Patriots linebacker or two, I think that's invaluable.
I agree. And I think especially you have like Chase Winovich coming back. That guy needs a little direction. I think it's like, we don't need to go down the whole road of my Winovich blocking experience. I think bringing those guys back, I don't have a problem with that. The Patriots have so much money to play with. Right now, the real hurdle is figuring out where they're going to spend it and who's going to be available and at what time. Because, you know, something that I talked to Mutt about last night was the timing of signing your free agent QB. You know, it seems that they're going to go that route, get a guy for now, and then maybe in the draft take a guy for later that you mold into the long-term guy. But in terms of finding your free agent QB, like, the clock is ticking. And if you're going to woo other guys over here, you know, I mean, do you feel like the Patriots can sit around and wait and see what happens with Jimmy G and see, you know, who's available as March goes on? Or do they need to start planning out what the offense is going to look like so that they can get guys to come here?
That is a great question. And we will pick it up on the other side. Your calls about the Boston sports it factor, your Cam Newton concerns, and the Patriots free agency picture. Does it hurt them to not have a quarterback in place? And is New England a free agent destination for the top 50, top 100 players? And would Belichick take them even if he couldn't get them at his preferred price? 617-779-7937. Fitzy and Mego on a Saturday. Let's catch you up on some sports news with Trending Now.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here is what is trending right now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Of course, you know by now the Bruins suffered their second straight blowout loss in New York to a New York team. Last night it was 6-2 to the Rangers in front of 10% capacity at Madison Square Garden. Megan, 13 goals allowed the last two games for the Bruins coming off the Lake Tahoe experience. Are you concerned?
Is that bad? I don't know. Bridget says we're getting all our healthy players back, so don't worry about it.
Oh, no, not quite yet.
Bridget says don't worry.
Are you preaching the same kind of patience that all of the Green Teamers and Celtics writers are preaching, Bridget?
I have not said not to worry. I think maybe worry.
Oh, all right. Well, when we get into the Bruins in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, the longer you don't have Krejci, the more you have to worry.
Okay. Yeah, they're still missing Krejci, Lazan, Miller, Grizzlick. Up next, the Bruins face the Rangers once again in a rematch tomorrow at noon at Madison Square Garden. The Celtics edged the Pacers 118-112 last night. Kemba Walker with a big 32 to help the Celtics snap that three-game losing streak. They're still one game under 500 on the season. They're back in action. Next game, Bridget, for the Celtics, I'm sorry.
Tomorrow night.
Against the Wizards.
Oh, against the Wizards. How about that? Wouldn't you know? Old Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Good and bad news for the Pats. Rap Sheet reports Pats players who opted out of 2020. Hightower, Chung, and Marcus Cannon the top three, all planning on returning in 2021. However, according to Rap Sheet, reports are not good, and questions continue to linger about Julian Edelman's knee, and will he be healthy enough to start the 2021 season? Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald was kind enough to join us last hour to discuss that. If you missed the interview, you can get it on WEEI.com. And, of course, Sox spring training games start tomorrow. I'll actually be going. Can't wait to see him. You can listen to the game 105 against the Twins from Fort Myers on our sister station, AM 850. And that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More Boston sports talk now. This is Fitzy and Mego on EEI.
Another player we have been kind of, say, wondering about is Julian Edelman, the veteran receiver, obviously a longtime face of the franchise in New England, still trying to work his way back from a knee injury that drastically shortened his 2020 season. My understanding is, he does want to play in 2021. That's not the important thing. The important thing is his knee going to be healthy enough to play? He is still rehabbing. He is still recovering. Still trying to see if he is healthy enough to be out there for the 2021 season. No decision made yet on which way that is going to go.
Not the best of news from the Rap Sheet yesterday on NFL Network. This is Fitzy and Mego. On your Boston Sports Saturday here on WEEI, you can join us anytime at 617-779-7937, and the text line is available at 37937. By the way, overdue congratulations are due to my co-host here on the program for the purchase of her fabulous new Honda that she just picked up.
Because around here, we Honda.
That's my buddy Will Noonan.
I had to say that on a quick slants all the time. I had to do this ridiculously long Honda read, and it would go on for so long, and they'd always pan the camera back to me as I was looking down and reading it because I didn't have a teleprompter remote. And then I went out and got one. So yeah, that was nice. It's a used car, but it's new to me, and did a great job. Honda.
I did the exact same thing a little while ago. I purchased a Honda from that exact same place. Have loved it. Haven't needed anything done. Yes.
Yeah, it was great. It was great because you know I did. It was actually wonderful. I put it out to my Twitter followers. I said if I'm going to buy a car, you know, how do I do this haggling? Because I've never done it before. And I was kind of worried about going into it, being, you know, like a younger woman, looking like somebody easy to rip off. And I got a lot of, we'll get into this later in the show, but I got a lot of advice. Maybe we'll do that at the end when we do less sports talk.
Yes.
Because we still got a lot coming off the topic.
We've got a lot. We have got a lot. We can go off topic towards the end with a couple of random slants, if you will, at the end of the program. But right now, of course, we are discussing the topic du jour, the dominant one in New England and maybe all over the football landscape, the Patriots quarterback carousel. You know, in conversations with people that work in and around the team that are highly familiar with them, they keep preaching just the same way that we thought Bridget was and other Bruins fans were and that Celtics beat writers and Celtics fans are continue to do. The Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, you know, relax, patience, patience. It'll all work itself out in time. It's like the worst thing that could have happened for Pats fans, even though it brought them all a lot of temporary joy while the Patriots faltered and went 7-9 and missed the playoffs for the first time in over a decade, Megan, was Tom Brady winning the Super Bowl because he goes there, gets his job done, does it extraordinarily well, topples the Chiefs, who the Patriots have not been able to get past in the last couple of years. Now Belichick looks worse, and now all that does is exacerbate people's frustration over the quarterback situation and how Cam Newton faltered this past year. And now as Brady continues, even with knee surgery, and he'll be out till June or July, what, a little knee surgery, a little cleanup, the same kind of knee surgery that may end Edelman's career, is only going to keep Brady out 3 months. He'll come back. They'll sign all these receivers. That's the destination now. And nobody knows if anyone wants to sign in New England. It's just putting that much more of an intense spotlight on the quarterback position and causing that much more angst in Pats fans everywhere.
Yeah, you say people around the team, asking for a little bit of patience from Patriots fans. But in terms of the problems that the Patriots face right now, their offseason, they're actually well positioned to be aggressive, as we heard, because of the cap space that they have and the limited cap in the rest of the league. There's going to be some guys who are looking for a paycheck. The question is whether Bill Belichick decides where he decides to pay out. And, like we've said a few times before, and my friend Andrew Callahan said, don't expect it to be at quarterback. And people love talking about the quarterback position because it has so much control over the offense, and it's usually the face of your franchise, de facto team quarterback and everything. But I'm not sure that that's how Bill Belichick wants to run this team going forward. I think he wants to focus on the defense and strategy, the game day strategy, hitting teams at their weaknesses, and not necessarily going through having the quarterback be the star and the face of your franchise, and maybe just treating him like another guy on the roster.
And if Edelman can't come back, and he was only owed $3 to $3.5 million this season, that adds another role, another key role in this Patriots offense that they might have to address this offseason. And there are just so many different needs on both sides of the ball. In addition to quarterback, think about, okay, they may have to, and Belichick, Andrew Callahan last hour told us as much, like they spend on average between 12th and 20th in the league on wide receivers. And he could see them doing a Marvin Jones, this guy, Josh Reynolds and that guy building a whole new core, as opposed to like, well, we got the same core, but guess what? I got Kenny Golladay. Okay, I mean, I love an alpha receiver as much as the next guy, and we saw what Stephon Diggs could do for a team and for a guy like Josh Allen up in Buffalo. But the Pats have so many needs. They might be needing this offseason, where Belichick is absolutely not going to trade for Watson and trade for Russell Wilson. So if we could please stop with those narratives, people, that would be great. Okay, thanks.
Who's beating those drums?
Tons of people, mostly fans, because that's why I pointed to their angst and agita over the lack of quarterbacks. So they're like, come on, Belichick, what are you doing? Put your next 9 first round picks up for grabs and go get Russell Wilson or go get Deshaun. Like, it's not going to happen, folks. You're going to see more value spending by the Pats because guess what? They do need linebackers. They do need a defensive line. They could use a veteran tight end to teach the kids anything and see if there's any promise and potential in them. They might need pass catching back. And they might need a slot receiver.
You need those quarterbacks. The quarterback has a say in where he goes. And I don't think Russell Wilson, when he's butting heads with Pete Carroll, who's a big warm teddy bear compared to Bill Belichick, wants to come to New England and play under Bill Belichick. He's looking for a situation where he has say in personnel and how the offense operates. I don't think that's New England. Like, come on, guys. That's a pipe dream.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons why Brady allegedly wanted to move on and take his talents elsewhere, because that was a growing frustration that he wanted a bigger say. He wanted to be more involved in the game plan. He wanted involvement in the personnel. And so if Tom Brady couldn't get that, do you think desperation would lead Bill Belichick to trade multiple drafts and whatever valuable assets they have on the team for a Russell Wilson to then bring him in and give him a greater say? And by the way, here's a great little stat, Megan, that our producer on the midday show, John Anderson, shared with me yesterday that I would like to share with you in the audience as to why perhaps, there's such discontent with Russell Wilson in Seattle. He wants to throw the ball more. He doesn't want to go to the more conservative-minded rushing attack. Over the past 6 seasons, passing attempts per game for the Seattle Seahawks, they have ranked from 2015 to 2020, 27th in the league, 23rd in the league, 16th in the league, dead last in 2018, 24th in the league, and in 2020, they were 20th in passing attempts in the NFL. And yet, when I say Russell Wilson, you probably think like, oh, top 3 quarterback, the guy throws so many touchdowns, it's a pass-heavy attack in Seattle, they got Metcalf and Lockett, so they actually, he does want to cook. That's why there is that expression.
Yeah, I mean, it would be great to have a quarterback here who can throw the ball and is interested in throwing the ball, because it's not really something that we had over the last season. But right. He's not a fit here. I totally don't see that happening. And the whole Julian Edelman component of it is a serious concern, because while Edelman hasn't been the same guy on the field for the most part for, you know, the last two seasons at mm-hmm. least, he was a security blanket for a quarterback. You know, even when Cam came in and he had his best game probably of the season against the Seahawks, he lit Julian up. And it was like, oh, okay, you know, we had that false sense of hope, because turns out the Seahawks defense was horrible. And we didn't have Julian for the rest of the year, but he right. is that dependable slot receiver that when nothing else on the offense is working, you can turn to. And that's just another huge piece of the offense that could possibly very well slip away.
Yep. Let's go to the phones now and hear what you guys have to say. Let's take it to Jack in New Hampshire, talking Pats receivers. How are you, Jack?
Hey, I'm doing all right. So, yeah, I'm looking at the depth chart, and, you know, Dante Moncrief made a couple of appearances for the Pats last year.
Yep.
And he looked pretty good. I mean, here's a veteran who's a very reliable professional, and he runs a 4.4, and you got Marquise Lee coming back. And I see where Damian Bird has run a 4.28 40, and Jacoby Myers, I thought he looked great last year. I mean, mm-hmm. he really developed. So I would trade the 15, N'Keal Harry, and Stephon Gilmore to try to move up, get one of those good quarterbacks, if possible. You know, I mean, it's just a you know, spitball, but wow. You know, they need to get a young quarterback they can develop and, you know, sign maybe Mariota or Fitzpatrick. But, I mean, I like their receivers they have. Dante Moncrief, I really like him. Give him a shot. Give him a chance. He looked pretty good when he got
in. Take a chance on him, huh? All right. Appreciate the call, Jack. Thanks for weighing in, bud. You know, it's funny because people think that Moncrief made more of an impact last year because they were just so desperate for somebody who looked the part of a professional receiver, Megan. He had that one really good kickoff return where he took it all the way back to the other team's, like, I want to say, like, 38-yard line or something. Like, oh, my God, we made a positive play of over 50 yards. Sign this guy to a 3-year deal, LFG. Moncrief had how many catches last year with the Patriots?
I don't have it ready. How many?
One.
That's an easy number to remember.
It's the loneliest number, and it's also the correct number. Moncrief had a catch, not multiple catches. He had a catch with the Patriots last year. Marquise Lee opted out. Now, he could come back, and all of a sudden, the Pats could find, you know, a diamond in the opted-out rough with Marquise Lee. To count on him to be anything more than a surprise fourth or fifth would be foolhardy. To think N'Keal Harry all of a sudden is just going to, you know, get it overnight, the Pats probably can't count on that. That's why I liked Andrew Callahan's plan of, like, spreading the wealth, not overpaying for, you know, $15 to $20 million for your Allen Robinson or your Kenny Golladay.
Getting a couple of guys.
A couple of guys. Create a real professional room with real professional pass catchers. And then maybe with Myers, and you see if you get anything out of Harry, keep Marquise Lee around, you draft a guy or two. Now you create a real competition where you have a competent professional wide receiving core that will not be a nagging issue all season long. And then we can focus our frustrations somewhere else, like tight end or whatever. You know, running back's going to be all set. Though, this week on Armchair GM on WEI.com, I focused on running backs. Specifically, I think the Patriots are going to need to draft James White's replacement, because I do think he's going to
My friend, that's where you are wrong.
Oh,
James White's replacement is already on the roster.
Oh, I like, you know what? We're going to take that as a tease. Megan Ottolini is going to tell you who is on the roster as James White's potential replacement. I'll tell you who I think they should draft. Just on the other side, we'll take your draft calls, your QB concerns, and more for your New England Patriots here on Fitzy and Mego. 617-779-7937. Don't you go anywhere.
Now back to Fitzy and Mego on WEEI.
Wrapping up hour number two here of the three-hour Fitzy and Mego experience on WEEI. You can join the show at any moment, 617-779-7937. Taking your tweets, I'm at FitzyGFY, and Megan is at Megan underscore Adelini, she would also love your suggestions for all-time iconic or absolutely disgusting American snacks. I'm thrilled to hear that you love Cheez-Its, because were I to have to decide a single food to eat the rest of my life, Cheez-Its would make Cheez-Its would make the final vote. They would be in the final four.
Okay, but Bridget was talking fake news. They weren't Cheez-Its. They were Goldfish.
Oh, they were Goldfish.
Yeah, it was a giant carton of Goldfish.
Because you're seven?
If you know anything about Goldfish, you know that the carton has a very superior taste of Goldfish to a bag.
Oh, 1,000. I only buy my kids. And by the way, I have an 8-year-old and a 3-year-old. So my life is the Paw Patrol and Goldfish and lukewarm pizza and, you know, just cleaning up messes all the time and stepping on Legos in the middle of the night and chocolate milk. And having had every snack under the sun, Goldfish from the giant milk size carton versus Goldfish delivered in any other capacity, greater than sign. By a mile, too. It's weird.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what it is. It's something about the air in the box or something, but it was highly embarrassing. It was my first time here, and I was like, Bridget, hi, I can't get this giant carton of Goldfish open. Can you hand me some scissors to stab it? And everyone was like, welcome to EEI. It was really,
you know,
really
what?
Weird.
Somebody should have popped up from around a corner and gone, you're going to fit in great here, kid.
It was very bizarre. I felt bad. And then I was like, let me just sneak these under my mask, and then Bradford came in and poisoned all of us. This is great.
And now he's on his way to Fort Myers, where I'll probably see him tomorrow with Twinkies game.
Bradford is on his way here to pick up the equipment and then go to Fort Myers.
Okay,
so we
will
see
him in a hazmat suit this time, not his marathon pants that he was wearing.
So wait, Bradfo is actually coming in. Now, Live BP follows the show today at 4 o'clock. You're not going to want to miss Bradfo and Steve Peralt with today's special Red Sox guest, Bobby Dalbec. Bobby, I'm excited about. There's a lot of reasons to be excited. Optimism abounds in Red Sox Nation, and we'll get to that a little bit in the next hour as we wrap up Pat's talk here. He's one of the guys that I'm excited about.
Can we talk about a guy I'm excited about on the Patriots?
I was just going to say professional radio segue coming in 3, 2, 1. But somebody Megan is excited about who could possibly be the replacement for James White should they lose another key cog in the offense this offseason is
J.J. Taylor. I love J.J. I was trying to get the J.J. train going all this season. And, you know, he wasn't activated for a whole lot of games, but the ones where he played, he made a big impact. When they played the Raiders, he had 11 carries for 43 yards. When they played Buffalo back right before New Year's Eve, he had a 28-yard carry. He is a little guy like James White, runs with a head full of steam. Not sure how his hands are because we just haven't seen a whole ton of him. He's only been here for 2 seasons, and Bill likes to hide his rookies. He's hiding that J.J. talent, but I would keep an eye out for him.
Yeah, last year was his first year, and this is another one of those classic Patriots undrafted. It's like Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis.
My bad.
Like,
we've seen so little of him.
So little, literally so little of him. But he is, and that's my concern. Like James White towers over him. Like Deion Lewis, he's like pocket-sized Deion Lewis. The guy's only 5'5".
I'm okay with that. You know.
Well, I mean, listen,
I'm not being a sizist. Yeah,
it sounds like you are, okay?
It sounds like you're trying to compensate for something, okay?
Wow.
we're getting into the last hour of the show. It's about to get loopy.
Okay, bucket of goldfish. Sounds like I'm trying to compensate.
It was a carton.
Carton o' goldfish.
And you agreed that they're delicious. So
they
don't
are. They're track. They're the snack that smiles back. I get it. My life, I swim in them. I can't go anywhere without seeing them. By the way, do we have an audio issue there, Bridget?
No.
We good? Okay, sorry about that. I thought I just heard a click on my end. My apologies for the remote issue.
That was me putting the cap of my Mountain Dew bottle on in front of the microphone.
Radio professionals
and grown-ups. Very strong.
My concern, though, with J.J. Taylor is, speaking of things that are as small as goldfish, J.J. Taylor is great. He's a spark plug. Like you said, runs full head of steam. He's an energy guy. But the issue is, I think he is just so small. And I know people have been making a career out of doubting little J.J. Taylor, and his size will work against him one day, especially at the pro level. I think he could be a total asset for the Patriots offense this year. The 1-2 punch of Harrison Michelle is going to be counted on and leaned on heavily, frequently, and often this year. No doubt about that. But James White was very, very durable. Great running back in college, good pass catcher, and then comes to the pros and becomes the next in a long line of great third down pass catching backs like Redmond and Falk and Woodhead and Vereen, you know, even Deion Lewis. And now he might move on. You need somebody who's a little more, a little bigger and a little more dependable. That's why I'm in love with this guy, Jim Nagy, who is the director of the Senior Bowl and does some scouting work for ESPN. He loves this.
Oh, you're in love with him.
Jim Nagy?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Anyway, yeah, you were saying.
Oh, love this guy. And the guy that he loves is this Demetric Felton out of UCLA. He's a wide receiver, running back hybrid. You basically, if you draft him in the third or fourth round, you're getting Curtis Samuel for not having to pay the $9 to $12 million per year you're going to have to pay for Curtis Samuel in free agency. And using a guy like that in receiver sets and then also as your third down back, in space, this guy is a monster. He's fast, got great hands, good defense needs, and that they could use to both gradually improve the offense on the outside and replace James White. He's one of many that I covered this week in the Armchair GM series at the running back position.
But who's going to be handing off to him? Who's going to be throwing to him on those third downs? That's you know, when you're courting guys like that, you got to have the answer ready for that. And if it's going to be, well, we're going to get you that guy in the draft, well, who's going to be there in the meantime? Is it going to be Cam Newton? And if it's going to be Cam Newton, what's going to be different this year other than having a real offseason?
Yeah, and that's going to be the thing. That's why they're going to have to hit it in the draft, because unlike free agency where you can woo them and make a pitch and then maybe offer them more money or a different kind of contract with the incentives they want, when you draft somebody, unless that person's last name is Elway or Manning and their daddy helps them pitch a fit on draft day, they usually have to go to your team. So that's where I see that replacement coming from. Let's hear from you guys a little bit before we go top hour. Speaking of Bobbies, Bobby in Cambridge, welcome to Fitzy and Mego.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Hope everybody's healthy.
Doing well. Thank you for checking in.
Yeah, it's an old cop and an old grandfather. I have to say something like that, okay? But I mean it, all right? So, anyway, Fitz, real quickly, I get to listen 10 to 2, and I want to say, you know what, back to old school radio. I know there's so much going on, man, but you guys talk sports a lot, which is really fun, you know, as opposed to talent and different things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a nice break from diversion, you know, from everything, but I really enjoy that show.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. It's a pleasure being part of Dale and Keith, and I hope we're making a positive impact and giving people a pleasant midday listen. Thank you.
Oh, it really is. It's great. It's great sports talk. Secondly, you know, I have to change my mind. I was no way in hell near the Cam Newton camp. I believe Cam Newton has a really good chance of coming back, and the same thing with Stidham. Secondly, my feeling about the draft is that Belichick is going to maneuver around, and I think he's going to target. There are a lot of good offensive linemen in the draft. I've called before. I'm a big person that over the years, you start with the line, both offensively and defensively. They can make a lot of people look good, both running back. I mean, stating the obvious. And again, last year, like the Red Sox, I believe it was just an audition and resume building year for everybody. Belichick didn't bring in anybody coach-wise, anything, any money. Again, the obvious. And I think that's what you're going to see. He's not going to do anything sexy. This is just my opinion. I think you even talked about it before, Fitzy. There's so many different places that need positions and need people that he's going to go after and spend that money. He's got McDaniels back with him, and he's got Patricia, what I like. And it's going to be a 1-2 year, 3 year building thing. But I really think that's what he's going to be going after. He's going to maneuver that draft and look around for offensive linemen. He's always been able to pick up people to fill holes during the years. You know, going back to the, I don't want to talk too long, the Dillons, the Antoine Swift, Revis Island, back and forth. And I really think that's the route you're going to see him go. It's from watching him. You know, if people talk about what I get a little upset about saying, hey, you know, look at they crashed. All of a sudden he wasn't ready. He had 19 years or 20 years, again, the obvious, of picking people up and keeping this thing going. And all of a sudden, bang, yeah, everybody left. I think this is Belichick. He's willing to take the hit, let everybody scream while he builds and puts a team together.
Right, just but Bobby, he also had 19 to 20 years of Tom Brady to build around. You know, that's a pretty good foundation.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But if we're being perfectly honest, you know, with Dante Scarnecchia, when he left for a couple of years, remember it was back around 2015, 16, Brady got his butt kicked and Skanicki are coming back. You know, as good as Brady is, his the way he performed was built around a strong offensive line. He never was a deep ball thrower, obvious, except for the year with Randy Moss, who's here. Randy Moss made a lot of spectacular catches. Not doubting his ability. Obviously, I love with the guy as much as anybody. But you don't go anywhere. And the Super Bowl, to me, was just a perfect example. Mahomes, the best quarterback I consider in football right now. Yes, he may have been hurt, but that Tampa Bay defensive line knocked him down. And Brady did have a really good first half, but that second half, they were protecting the heck out of him the whole game. I mean,
yes,
I think the Super Bowl was a perfect example of starting with your offense and defensive line, guys.
That's where it's won, Bobby. You let him know. You let him know. You call back anytime. Bobby from Cambridge, he's seen a couple Pats games. He knows what's up. He knows where you win the games. There's a grinder right there. That's my kind of caller. That's my kind of caller, Megan. That's the people that know the way that Belichick goes about his business, the way he'll probably conduct himself again this offseason, and the very fundamentals even of a Super Bowl where Gronk caught two touchdowns. Tom Brady, he's 43. He won another one with another team. He's unstoppable. He is the GOAT. Yes, but guess what? His defense was relentless, and Kansas City's offensive line was terrible. And that story could basically be told in just that previous sentence.
Yeah, absolutely. And as he said, don't expect him to do anything flashy, but there are some necessary things that he has to do at skill positions. You can't completely ignore the skill game when you have none of it on offense. And now it looks like it's very possible that one of your biggest weapons is going to be out of commission. We're not saying that is the case with Julian Edelman, but it's a definite possibility, especially with him at 35.
It looks like it's a definite possibility indeed, as Rapshi talked about yesterday and Andrew Callahan alluded to earlier from the Boston Herald when he joined us in the first hour. All props again, in case anyone gets mad or hits me up on at FitzyGFY. Of course, Brady is the GOAT. He's my favorite player ever, blah, blah, blah. I'm just mad at him this week because he unfollowed the Patriots on Instagram, and I'm that petty. 617-779-7937. Hour number three coming up. We're going to talk a little bit Red Sox as they kick off spring training tomorrow in Fort Myers when they visit the Minnesota Twins. Is there reason for this surge in optimism in Red Sox Nation just with Chris Sale coming back, Alex Cora rejoining the team, and a reinforcement of offense? JD Martinez looks like he's having fun. Is the fun back in Fenway? We'll hit on that. It's Fitzy and Mego here on EEI. Don't go anywhere.